here, and so it's only fitting then that I bring to you as an opening for this sermon a letter. Because really John's first letter, that's exactly what it was to us. So this letter went to an aunt and uncle. It was Aunt Maud and Uncle Jeff. Aunt Maud read this letter. It was from her favorite nephew. And after she read the letter, she burst into tears. And her husband's like, Maud, what's going on? What happened? What's in the letter? She says, it's so sad. It's so sad. Our nephew's son, he's grown a third leg. A third leg? Yeah, what do you mean? Yes, he now has 3 feet. He couldn't understand what was going on, so he took the letter from Aunt Maud, and he was reading down through the letter, and it said, well, you have to celebrate Maud and Joseph that little Joey has now grown another foot. I'd like to share that with you. I'll put it on Facebook later. I get another foot. Does it mean taller, or does it mean three of them? Anyway, this is John wrote a letter to us. And in the letter, sometimes we find things that are like, what does this even mean? Matthew, can you go back a page to the actual scripture? We appreciate that. And in this scripture, John gives us 3 different, what I call, stages of Christianity. Now, it's interesting. He put that there's little children, there's fathers, and there's young men. We're going to get to each of those, what they mean. But it's amazing that when we look at this, we see, okay, this Christian walk we have with Jesus Christ, is it this nice flow, or is it like, hey, I got here, now I need to add something deeper in my Christian ideas, and then another thought. So, I've spelled this out as being 3 separate stages of Christian walk. The little children, the young men, and then the parent or the father. I have to tell you, we are on a walk. You know that. Every one of us are on a journey. It's a story we write for the world to hear. It's a story we're sharing about who do we serve. Do we serve ourselves and the destruction that goes with that? Or do we serve the Almighty God and the enhancement that goes with that? But we're on a journey. Whether you acknowledge it or not, we are. And there's some people in this world today that their journey is not following God. Their journey is following their own desires and their own selves. And I call this the pre-walk, or the pre-stage journey. Those who have not made a commitment, who do not know who Jesus is. Now, we who are on this walk, who are writing this journey in the name of Jesus, it's our job to reach them. That's what we've been given to do. When Jesus said he's the light of the world and then told us we're the light of the world, we're to shine the light of Jesus Christ into the lives of other folks so that they can find the greatest gem out there, which is the gem of Jesus Christ. As such, then, you invite people. Invite them to come to worship, whether it's virtual. Hey, by the way, we have a big footprint out there now. Or whether it's in person, where you're at right now. Invite them to come to Sunday school. And Sunday school is up, fully functioning. Invite them to come. Whether it's to the adult class or kids. We have youth group each and every Sunday night. You can invite them to that. You can invite them to Travis Zimmerman, who we'll have later today. You can invite them to come and hear the hope that even when your life is being ruled by addiction, you can come here and hear the hope that's truly found in Jesus Christ. So our task is to shine brightly and invite those to come in, to be part of this walk and journey with us, so they can understand why we do what we do. How is it that the light has changed us, and we now are able to live as children of light? Now, one of the things that I've heard is a criticism against us who are on this walk is the idea that we don't live up to the ideal of Jesus. And usually I say, really? That's news to you? Because in reality, none of us do. That's why we're on this walk, so that we can live up to the reality of Jesus. And to say that we make mistakes and be a surprise, it shouldn't be. Because we're fallible human beings seeking to serve an infallible God. As such, then, one of the ways we show to the world, hey, come on this walk with us, is to live out our Christianity. The church I came from, which was in Virginia Beach, I learned way, way back then that, you know, sometimes humor is really good and sometimes it's horribly destructive. So one day at church, I had one of those moments I should not have been joking another person. I've learned for the most part. But back then I had learned. It was something I shouldn't have done. It was a cruel trick. And afterwards, when I went home, God laid on my heart. It was a cruel trick. I shouldn't have been doing it. So I called that person up. And granted, I'm not perfect. The moment you think I'm perfect, oh, you're in for a big fall. I just want to tell you that right now, okay? Because I'm not perfect. So I called that person up and I apologized. I apologized for making fun of them, literally. And you know what? They said, don't think anything about it. I said, why do? Because this is now Christians act. And so then we went to a deeper level of being able to serve our God. This is how we show to the world. The light is part of us. That we take this, what we're doing right now, seriously. And we live that out, even amongst those who aren't on this journey with us. So let's get back to the stages now. And invite people to come on these stages with us. The first one, John calls it little children. And this idea is the concept of I have received, I understand, I've embraced salvation from God. He puts that there as forgiveness. The reason why we're on this journey is because we've been forgiven. Because we've embraced the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That the mistakes we make, we know that God can wipe them clean out of us. And so we start in this journey. If you've done something wrong, know that God has a reset button. That's called forgiveness. And it's a great gift. I mean, if you've ever done something and you're like, oh my goodness, I made a mistake. And that just weighs heavy on your heart. And you go and you ask for forgiveness and it's given. It's amazing how that weight is lifted off. And that's what God, understanding us, has done. He's provided forgiveness for us. So that we can go on this journey and not carry the burden of the duty of doing what's right all the time. This is what forgiveness is about. We're forgiven, so we can stay on this path. We're forgiven so we can tell our story. We're forgiven so that we can know that we've done something wrong. It does not dictate to us how we should live from here on. We're children of God. And as a result of the forgiveness, we can be children of God. And when we find this essence of forgiveness, that's what little children find. And we find that. We find the core of who God is. And the core of who God is love. Because in order to forgive, guess what you have to do? You have to love. If you don't forgive, love's not in you. John makes that point clear in another part of this letter. So children enjoy this incredible gift of forgiveness. They've made mistakes. They've done dumb things. It's corrected because it's forgiven. Here at St. Andrew, he went to say, we consider our children valuable. We provide from the bottom all the way up, newborns all the way until they move into adulthood, we provide ministry because we consider our children valuable. We have a nursery. It's now back up fully functioning. We have children's Sunday school. We have young adult Sunday school. We have youth group. All because we consider our young people that valuable. We want them to learn what the light of Jesus Christ is about and what this journey and story is all about. We want to help them grow. When we do a baptism, and in the era of COVID, we haven't done one yet, but when we do a baptism, you all take a commitment to help raise these children to know Jesus Christ. To me, it's one of the most powerful things we do as a church because we corporately, together, we announce our children are valuable. And we want them to know Jesus. Now, with the stages, sometimes, the reason why John, I think, has given them to us is so we don't stay in any given stage. Because we're always in the stage of being forgiven. We're going to continue to do those same dumb things over and over again. We're going to allow that one sin to rule in our lives. And instead of moving past it, we're going to stay here because, after all, God will forgive, right? And we stay in that one sin again and again and again, and people look at us and say, wait, the transforming love of Jesus hasn't moved them past this beginning stage. And so we then need to say, God, forgive me and give me the strength to get it out. To get that sin out of my life. Then we move into this next stage. The next stage I call young adult. You know, it's interesting, in the Bible it's translated God and men. The word is actually not young and men. It really means youth. Those who are older than children, but not as older as an adult. So I call it a young adult stage. And this young adult stage, according to John, is where you've gone grown strong in your faith. You're able to stand up against the forces that surround you, and you're able to say no to your temptations and yes to God. The young adult stage is where you really latch on to what Christianity is all about. It's about the power of Jesus Christ in your life. It's about the ability to shine brightly with this light. It's the ability to show love to those who do not know what love is about. And when this comes, it's like a great fire. You've discovered a new way of living. And as a result of that, it's so much easier to be able to share. Because after all, this is incredibly intoxicating, something like that, in a, you know, a drug or alcoholic way. I mean, intoxicating, exhilarating way. Because now we perceive that which God always intended, the ability to withstand the working of the evil one. As a result of this, young adults do and can change the world. The world says terrible things about our young adults, and about how they cannot withstand their temptations, how they are unable to be able to stand up as a person of integrity. But once we've latched on to Jesus Christ, they're able to say no. As Jared mentioned last week, say no to the things the world says young adults should be doing. And yes, to what God asks us to do. The beautiful thing about the young adults is that they have realized something very important. God's love for them is powerful. There's a quote from a person who's a young adult said, "People think I'm crazy. They say you take this Jesus thing too seriously. Well, I don't know, but Christ took me pretty seriously when he died for me on that cross." And this generation of ours, we've always looked to them to change the world. That's what the Peace Corps is about. That's what people going to missionary work is about. What those who are facing down even evil tyrants are about. They're young adults. And the amazing thing about this is they're the ones seeking to truly make a difference in this world. They've got the energy, they've got the time, and they've got the fire. What a great gift. And they're the ones who can show us how to effectively move with an enthusiasm into a world in which there's difficulties. The problem in each of these stages, I've highlighted what's the difficulty of staying in that stage, is that sometimes you use the power you have as a weapon. You know, there's a Salvation Army statement, "Yet hate the sin, you love the sinner." And sometimes when we get into this, where there's power, we associate too much sin with a person. And so we hate the sin, we hate the sinner. And so the task here is to separate that out. Those we don't agree with, those we don't like, those lifestyles we don't enjoy, you know, pray for them, hating the sin. But loving that person to a depth that they don't know, that's the fire that comes in this stage of being a young adult. Instead of destroying, this stage restores. It restores a healthy life for who a person is. This is what John meant in the verses that Dave did not read. It goes on. It says, "We're not to love the world or anything in the world." In other words, we're not to use the world's tactics to receive or achieve God's ways. We're to use God's ways, which is the power of love. Sadly, too many Christians use the world's tactics to achieve God's purposes. The end result is we don't achieve either. And so we're called, as these young adults are called, to use the powerful way of love, the powerful way of grace, to be able to touch the world. So, to recap so far, little children have embraced the big thought, God forgives. The young adults have embraced the idea that the Holy Spirit is there for direction and guidance and forgiveness and power. And so now we move to what the Bible actually says is parent. And the word there really is father. But it's not meant father as being like a physical father. It's meant to be someone who is a drunk of the deep well of wisdom. This is an elder who's developed where they are as a result of study, of meditation, of asking the tough questions of God and the tough questions of each other in order to understand. The last stage, the stage of elder, is a place in which we don't fear the future because we know who's already there. That's the sovereign God. When the stage of the elder is that they don't overreact because they have the experience that God will get us through. Even through the worst crisis, God's already gotten us through to this point. God will get us through this crisis to the other side. That's the well of understanding. The deepness of resting in the fact that God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And thus will get us through like He got us through yesterday, getting us through today, and will get us through tomorrow. C.S. Lewis had a word about the stage of elder. He said, there are feelings come and go. God's love for us does not. And that's this stage. The understanding that God's love is always present. It doesn't come and go. Even if we make a mistake, that's why. God's love's still there. That's the stage of elder. So grounded in one's faith that the end result is that we don't worry about what's going on excessively around us. Now, in each of these stages, I've highlighted what the problem can be. What's the problem in this stage? That's becoming complacent. You know God has the future. You know God's working out the present. So you don't do anything. You allow God to do it. Realize one important fact. God sent us to change the world. Sometimes I have people say, well, if God's so great, why didn't God send someone to correct the situation? I'm like, God has. It's us. We're the ones that are supposed to go out and talk to those who are struggling with addiction. We're the ones who are supposed to be there with those who are sad over loss of love. We're the ones who walk with people who are going for tests. We're the ones who are supposed to be there saying in this world of hate, love and peace are to be the rule. That's us. We're called to do this. But sometimes in this last stage, we're like, God's got it. We don't need to worry about it. So we don't evangelize. We don't share. We don't live out the idea of making a difference. Now, to recap what we've talked about, I want to tell you we need all three stages in us at all times. We need to know the joy of forgiveness. God will forgive you. I don't care what your sin is, God will forgive. It does not matter what you've done. God is that big. God is that great. With that knowledge, then, we can move into, let's do something great for God. I may make a mistake along the way. I may not say the right thing. Remember, we can go back to forgiveness. But we've got to make a difference in this world. It is us who are called to do it. And so we take that power that comes with the knowledge of love, the power that Holy Spirit rests on us, and we go out into the world to reach out to those who are dearly hurting, who have been crushed by life. But we know, this is the third stage. We know that we can't make the change. We're only the ones who hold up the sign. We can't turn a person's heart around. We're the only one who points at the one who can do it. That's Jesus. So our whole goal is to celebrate Jesus' forgiveness, to live in the love of Christ, and then have the knowledge that Jesus will move in. And Jesus is the one who makes the difference. As a closing, you know, I've been going back retro lately about songs, and there was a group called DC Talk, and they embraced a song, or wrote a song called Jesus Free. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be so involved in Jesus that people call us a Jesus freak. The chorus goes like this. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true? I don't really care if they label me a Jesus freak because there ain't no disguising the truth. Folks, we carry the light with us. It's our task to demonstrate by living. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the incredible life you've given before us. And you call us by forgiveness. You put us on this journey by forgiving our sins. You give us the strength to deal with it and then the knowledge to to be able to face the trials and tribulations that will come our way. We thank you, Lord God. You call us to be your people, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to call others to be part of this as well. What an incredible journey we're on. Thank you, Lord God, that we do it together as the church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.